The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
It seems like sports media, the Vegas market, basically everyone has now decided that LSU is suddenly the greatest college football team ever and a complete unstoppable force, and we're wasting our time even putting them up against Clemson.
I mean, I think it was a two-part thing. Part of it was a bad matchup, and the other part was LSU played a damn near perfect game.
They did.
And that happens. I mean, if they play that well against Clemson, Clemson doesn't have a chance.
Whitney Mercilus is now the sixth highest paid outside linebacker per annual salary, and you didn't want to pay Jadeveon Clowney, who's younger.
That's
a head-scratching move to me, particularly when, like I said, the time is going to come where Deshaun Watson's like, all right, bring me my bag. And I'm not saying Whitney's not a good player.
No, but I don't think he's worth what they gave him.
No.
Just like I don't think Nick Martin was worth what they gave him.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. Know the number for that. You can also get on the Twitch channel. Put your comments in the chat. Try to get to them. And if you missed the first 2 hours, that's some of what you missed. Mostly sportsy today. And all available on podcastarena.com, although I'm not so sure all the shows from last week have made it to Podcast Arena yet, so if we could check on that, that would be great. There was a show Friday with me and Josh Jordan filling in for AJ. It was fun. He did a good job.
Are you moving on from me?
No, it's just every now and then I like it. I like doing a show with somebody like Josh because then I can kind of be the a-hole.
Oh.
And, you know,
I don't allow you to do that.
Well, you're kind of the a-hole of the show, which is fine. I'm
an alpha a-hole.
I have to kind of be, sometimes I have to be the responsible one. Every now and then it's fun to not be responsible. I don't want to do that on a regular basis because I don't trust myself enough.
I got you.
So. Because I don't have me to stop me from doing it, you know. Just saying. And can I, before we get to, I want to get to the Texan schedule here, but I want to bring something up because somebody says, not sure it beats the Florida couple arrested for selling tickets to heaven for 90.
That was like,
guys,
2 years ago.
No, it's 2015, and I mean I don't know why that's making a comeback.
Because it's a great headline.
Yeah, it's a great headline, but it's a 2015 story, and I can't tell you how many people sent it to me. Said, look, gym of the day, and I don't want to.
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah, we did that in 2015 when it happened, and you know, I don't get how, because this happens all the time. We're like, and people will say, and I love it when people send me stories for gym of the day. I just wish you'd check the date sometime, because
the problem was it was just a picture of the article on Twitter. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the actual article being floated around.
Because
those are dated.
Yeah, but it made a comeback. And the truth is, yeah, that was from 2015. We did it at the time. It was a great story then. Still a great story. It's just not, you know, not gym of the day worthy.
Yeah.
All right, you want to talk about your Texans schedule?
Yeah, Texans full schedule is known now. Well, not the order that they'll play in, but their eight home opponents, eight road opponents are known.
Okay.
Home games next year, obviously, Colts, Jags, Titans, Ravens, Bengals, Packers, Vikings, Patriots.
It's pretty, well, that's a pretty tough group there between the, of course, you won the division, you're going to get the Ravens and the Patriots. Yeah. And
But the Packers and Vikings, at least you're getting those teams at home.
Yeah.
If you got to play the NFC North,
wouldn't
you rather go to Chicago and Detroit?
Yeah, then, definitely.
I mean,
those are the two. Well, I don't know. They were better on the road.
Maybe.
Still.
Their road games, Colts, Jags, Titans, Bears, Browns, Lions, Chiefs, Steelers.
But that, I think you can do a lot of damage there because the only game you look at right off the top and say that's a loss is the Chiefs.
Right.
And, you know, of course, we don't know what any of these teams are going to look
like. Well, especially, I mean, the Steelers could be totally different.
They could.
Hell, the Bears could be totally different if Mitch Trubisky's not the quarterback. The Bears have a pretty good team besides quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. And if they, well, I mean, what if Philip Rivers is their quarterback next year?
Yeah. Suddenly they're interesting. I mean, you could say that about a lot of teams. Who's quarterbacking, you know, who's quarterbacking the Titans next year? You know, the Lions will have.
I'm pretty sure they're going to keep Tannehill.
They may.
They almost have to, don't they?
They may.
But the when you look at it, there'll be some of those teams that are much better than we think. And like every year, I heard Charlie talking about this today when I was driving to the gym, that there were four new teams in the playoffs every year. This year there were five. And when you look at those, if you want to talk about teams that could make the playoffs next year that didn't this year, I think the Steelers and the Bears would be pretty high on that list.
Certainly.
So,
and I also, I mean, are you willing to say that there's not enough talent on the Rams for them to make the playoffs next year?
Oh, I think, yeah, they'll be a candidate.
Or the Falcons.
But they're not on your schedule.
No.
We're talking about the guys on the schedule.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just saying there's plenty of teams.
Yeah,
I mean, Dallas. Dallas has plenty of talent, and they didn't make the playoffs. So, yeah, there's going to be new teams every year, which means that some teams that we think are going to be good next year probably won't be good.
Right. Well, I remember the Chargers, a lot of people had as dark horse Super Bowl contenders.
Teams, yeah,
and they turned out not to be any good. Yeah. So, I mean, it varies year to year. But I would put those two as candidates. I mean, Steelers damn near made the playoffs this year.
Yep.
With a Duckett quarterback.
Yeah.
So... But we haven't really talked about the playoff matchups. What are your initial thoughts on a wild card weekend here?
I think that the Titans are a live dog. Actually, I think both AFC teams are live dogs. I think that it wouldn't shock me if the road teams won either one of those games. I'm not saying they will.
I think the Titans are more likely to win than the Bills are. Yeah. And I honestly think this is a... don't get me wrong, if the Texans who played the Broncos show up, they'll lose to anybody. But I think this is a good matchup for them. And if Deshaun Watson plays anything like even an above average game, then I don't think they lose this game. I don't think they're blowing the Bills out, but I think I could see it a touchdown, 10 points. It all comes down to if he plays well. If he doesn't, and if they come out with that same stupid game plan that we see all the time where, hey, we're going to throw the ball deep and he's going to hold on to it too long, because that's not going to beat the Bills. You're going to have to run the ball.
Because the Bills' secondary is legit. You have to run the ball well.
You have to run the ball well, throw the ball to Duke Johnson out of the backfield, hit your tight ends, and establish that, do some RPOs, do some bootlegs, and once you've done that, then you can start taking your shots down the field. And if they do that and have a really good game plan and call a good game, then they're not going to have a problem here, because the Bills aren't going to be able to score enough. The one thing the Texans can do, assuming Watt comes back, and even if he's 80%, that'll improve the run defense. Bradley Roby, you can put on Brown. The receivers catch the bulk of their passes. Their tight ends don't do anything. Their running backs don't do anything out of the backfield. And those are the things that tend to kill the Texans.
And running quarterbacks kill the Texans.
Well, and that's the one advantage they're going to have.
That's what they're going to have to win with. Josh Allen's going to have to be a player in this
game.
He is.
He's going to have to take off running. He's going to have I think he's going to have to run it 10 or 12 times, frankly.
I do too.
And if he does...
I think if he breaks 50, 60 yards, the Texans are in trouble.
I don't know if they'll be in trouble, because, to me, the whole thing depends on what the Texans' offense does.
This is what the Bills do. They make games ugly.
They do.
Almost every game they've played this year has been an ugly game. And with the teams that are sort of like Buffalo that make it ugly, the Texans... Well, I shouldn't say the Texans have had no success, because they beat the Patriots, and the Patriots are an ugly it up team, too.
And they beat the Jaguars early in the season in a very ugly game, but they also lost to the Panthers in a very ugly game. But here's the difference, and both teams have the same record, but let's throw out week 17 for both of them, because they didn't care.
Yeah.
So 10-5. The Texans 10-5 is a hell of a lot more impressive than the Bills. You know how many winning teams with winning records the Bills beat?
Zero. Yeah.
They beat 2-8-8 teams.
Yeah.
Was the best they did.
Because the Cowboys finished 8-8.
Yeah, Pittsburgh and Cowboys. So, you know, from that perspective, yeah, it's not a surprise that the Cowboys win was probably their best win, because they went in there and housed them. That was probably their most impressive victory of the season. So,
but there are also things that the way the Bills played the Ravens, it's not a win.
Those are the positives.
But it's like, oh boy. I mean, you can hang with teams a team that the Texans damn sure couldn't hang with.
No, but you know, the Texans also hung in there with the Saints, which I think is comparable. So body of work, if we're talking college football, then I would say the Texans' record is more impressive.
Listen, the Bills are I'm not saying they're as good as Clemson, but the Bills are, who have you really played? Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, and they haven't blown any of those teams out except for Dallas. But having said that, to me, the game isn't about what the Bills do. It's about which Texans team shows up. And if the good offense, where they're running misdirection and they're hitting the tight ends and they're moving the ball with Deshaun Watson, shows up, then the Texans are going to beat them. But if they don't, if they come out there and believe me, it's Bill O'Brien in the playoffs. I mean, we've seen it before.
Oh, well, would you rather have Bill O'Brien or Sean McDermott?
I'd rather have anybody but Bill O'Brien in the playoffs until he proves to me that he can do something. But if they come out and do that same thing where he's going to drop back and hold the ball and hold the ball and wait for his receivers to get open downfield against good cornerbacks and get sacked or fumble or throw an interception or go three and out because they got a big sack on one of the plays and they go a quarter and a half without scoring points, they're going to lose the game. It's that simple. So to me, it really isn't about, like, both teams bring their A game, the Texans win. I just don't know the Texans will bring their A game.
Well, the things I always look at in the playoffs, quarterback, coach, defense, and the Texans have a significant edge at quarterback. I think the Bills have an edge at coach. I think defense, it depends on which Texans team shows up. You know, this Bills team is great as a one-dimensional defense. They are an elite pass defense. They're a very, very beatable run defense.
Although you say that, but they were still 12th in the league against the run. They weren't terrible. I mean, that's you're in the top half of the league against the run, and you're that good against the pass, and they were second in points allowed. I mean, they and again, part of it is the style they play. But if you get into that ugly it up game, that benefits the Bills big time. And as far as a quarterback goes, unless the Deshaun Watson who showed up against the Patriots shows up, they don't have an edge. He has not played well.
He's better than Josh Allen.
In theory, yeah. But he hasn't played worth a damn since that Patriots game. If that guy shows up, they don't win the game.
Well,
that simple.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, though, I mean, if best Deshaun Watson shows up and best Josh Allen shows up.
Yeah.
But there's a pretty big gap.
And that's why I'm saying that it really, what the Bills do doesn't really matter if the Texans show up. I just don't know that they will. In fact, I'm not going to be surprised at all if they come out and play a garbage game and it winds up being close late. And if it is, and it's like a 17-13 game, doesn't that favor the Bills big time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. If it's an under game, the under games definitely favor the Bills. 100%.
All right, I stand corrected. They did beat the Titans early in the season.
And what, the Titans Bills finished 9-7.
9-7. So okay. one winning team. Yeah. But the Texans beat them too, so that, you know, that's a wash.
But the Texans beat them when it didn't matter.
No,
just kidding.
I do think the Titans, I might moneyline the Titans. I don't want to overreact to how the Patriots looked against the Dolphins. Because the Dolphins they are playing better football, and I don't know how. You look at the receivers, you haven't heard of half of those guys that Fitzpatrick's out there throwing to. But they've been playing pretty well. But when was the last game that we can say, boy, the Patriots look good?
Ugh, long time.
And I do think that, if they can go out there. Now, maybe they shouldn't have been running Henry into the ground yesterday, coming off that injury.
Had to get him the rushing title.
Okay. I hope you didn't overdo it with him, because you're going to need him next week. And by the way, the Patriots' defense hasn't been that great over the last month either. Remember when they were on a historic pace?
Yep.
Not so much.
Well, you mean when they were playing the Jets and the Dolphins every week early on?
Same team that your Bills were beating up on. All right. Quick break. Only one segment to go before we get you to Aggie basketball. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to ESPN 97.5, and we proudly hydrate with C-Force water. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. He asks, is there a brick and mortar place where I can get some Cheers? I'm going to Cabo Wednesday and forgot to order. Nope, sorry. Any thoughts on the NFC games real quick? And then I have one last thing, unless you have a dumbass report.
No. For the NFC, I mean, the way the Saints and the Vikings are trending right now, it feels like that game could be ugly.
Feels like an over game to me. I do think the Vikings will score enough to get it over. The Saints may score enough on their
own. And boy, that Eagles Seahawks line is such a trappy line. I've had multiple people say Seahawks number seems short, right? And here I go to my power rankings and I see Seahawks 4 points better than the Eagles, and then I think about three for home, and I'm like, that's about where those teams are. I've been saying all year long the Seahawks are overrated. I mean, you could even bump the Seahawks for last night because they played really well.
They did.
But
they should have won that game.
I mean,
then they had some games earlier that they should have lost, like the Rams game early in the season. So
they play too many tight games for me to feel good about giving many points with them. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if they beat the Eagles because I think the Eagles are garbage. I don't know, man. That's going to be a tough call.
Well, I wanted to get to this. Somebody said, I saw a stat that if you flipped every game in the NFL this year, the Chargers had a first-round bye in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And yeah, a Reddit user created that. And it's interesting. If you flip every one-score game, the wins become losses and the losses become wins.
I think the Seahawks and Packers don't make the playoffs.
The Packers don't make it. The Seahawks are 3-12.
Yeah.
Seahawks
would have the first pick.
Texans would be 5-10.
Oh, boy.
Cowboys would be 12-3. Okay, but here's the problem with just doing that.
I bet. What are the Patriots?
Patriots are 10-5.
Oh, okay. That's surprising.
So not as good. Actually, the Browns would be 9-6. And this is before last week. But the one problem with this is if you're going to take one-score games, you can't really reverse them. If you want to split them down the middle,
right,
you can do that. But just reversing one-score games is, I mean, it's kind of clever by half. So go through and give me the numbers if you want to split them and say, what if they had won, if every one-score game had gone 500?
Right.
And not all one-score games are created equal either. So you almost have to go and look at the individual ones where somebody got a, like, for instance, the Cardinals lost a one-score game yesterday. That was because of a late backdoor cover. That wasn't a one-score game. That's not the same as the Seahawks and 49ers were last night.
Where it's still up for grabs until the end of the game.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a fun little thing to go look at. Wow, if they'd only flip-flopped. But nobody ever wins every one-score game or loses every one-score game. And if you just go and take them as 500, then it's a little different. But I don't want to pee on all over the Reddit user's work.
Louisville has won the Music City Bowl, Fred.
Boo. Oh, quit celebrating in there, you little bitch.
Me and Cody, the only two who had them.
Hey, you and Cody
and
can suck
Tyler
it.
Did the math. If I get every single game right, I would end up winning the thing.
You don't have to do the math. It says over there on the side how many points you've got available. You have the most points available.
But you also have to add it to your total left. And Cody was so far ahead of me, Tyler thought I wouldn't be able to catch him.
No, you can. No. The max number is if you win the rest of your games, that's what your score
will
be.
I was going off of what Tyler did because I didn't invest too much in it.
No, Tyler doesn't know anything. He's a dummy.
It didn't do you any good because Cody had that one way up there, too.
Well, and you had Illinois, and, I mean, we can pretty much safely count that as an Illinois
loss.
Yeah,
I got a lot of things wrong.
Yeah.
Well, true of us all.
You actually haven't missed that many. Yeah, I just don't think you understood how the game worked early on.
I did. I just didn't put enough stock into, oh, crap, some of these more competitive ones I should move up my board to less points. I was trying to juggle a million things before
the
end of the
year. Did you and Cody exchange notes?
No.
Is there something going on with you two?
They both got the Hawaii game right, and that was like the first game that Aaron really bumped up in points was Hawaii.
I credit that to Brad.
And Hawaii, credit that to the referees who you need to credit it to.
Yeah, that's true. BYU got hosed. Hosed, I see.
Hosed.
Well, this is our last show of the year.
It's been our last show, Fred,
of the decade. It's been a really good year from a show standpoint. From a personal standpoint, from a team standpoint here at Gal Media, it's been a great year for us. We're going to do better in 2020.
We're going to try. Damn sure try.
Across the board, but we're going to have fun doing it. So I do want to say Happy New Year to everybody. Thanks to everyone who's listened to us and who's read Sports Map and who's, you know, stuck with us here for the whole year. It's been awesome. It's been an awesome decade. And guess what? 2020 is only going to be better, assuming I live through it. Aaron, great job for the year. A-plus for the year. All right, A for the year. I'm going to take the plus off. Because you didn't quite do as well as Hoffman, so I'm going to give Hoffman
an
A-plus.
Now we're talking.
And, you know, for me, this might have been my best year ever. Definitely a C-plus. All right, that's going to wrap it up. I hope everybody has fun. Be responsible. Don't go out there an amateur night and get yourself in trouble
tomorrow
night.
Don't act a fool.
Yeah. I mean, if you go spend the extra money for Uber and Lyft that are going to gouge you to death tomorrow night. But don't do anything silly. We don't want to lose any blitzers. All right. We'll be back on Thursday. Till then, stay sporty, bitches.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city.